Real quick, turn to Psalm chapter 90. That ain't our text, but it'll lead into our message. Psalm 90. It's good to see you. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. I've missed you. I know we've had services streaming, if you will, but that ain't church. You don't know how hard it is to preach to empty pews. Amen? I look like a doe in headlights. So it's good to have some faces to look at, even if it's some of yours. Amen? Hey. All right. Look at verse 12 real quick. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There's an old saying. I've heard it all my life, and I'm sure you have too. You're never too old to learn something. Amen? Never too old. And of course, what he's saying is this. Teach us, Lord, to understand how short our life really is, and to live what we have left in a way that pleases you and honors you and to the best of our ability. That's what he's talking about. And wouldn't it be nice if we would learn that? But the sad thing is, people don't even think about how precious life is. And people don't try to live their lives in a manner that's going to honor God today. You don't believe me? Watch TV, especially the last few days. And don't get me wrong, that man was murdered. That police officer needs to be held accountable. He needs to go before a judge, and they need to lock him up, throw away the key. That was murder. I have no problem with that. He murdered that man, he should pay. And we have a God-given right as citizens of this country to protest. We have the freedom of speech to protest, and we should do that. Peacefully, that's the key. But we don't loot. We don't burn down, and we don't shoot at cops, because I'm telling you, if we don't get our act together, get ready. History's going to end up repeating itself. In 1861, there was a war in these states. The same thing could happen again. I pray the Lord comes back before that. So, with that said, now let's go to our text. Go to Matthew chapter 6, and everybody knows this text, but I tell you what, even though I've preached it a time or two here, we're going to preach it again as far as the text goes. Let me ask you a question. What do you think Jesus would tell us when it comes to life? Everybody stand, please, as I get ready to read this one verse and use it as our text. If you can't, sit, my sister. Don't stand. But if we were was to ask Jesus, Lord, what's the secret to living the best of life? The life that we have left, and by the way, no one knows how long we're going to be here. But while we're here, we are to do our best to live the best life. Take advantage and thank God for what He's given us. This is what I think He would say. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, simple. First things first. Seek first God. and then his kingdom, and then his righteousness, and then all of this will be added unto you. And I'm going to show you what all of this he's talking about, because there's a lot of folks that have that twisted today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I love you, and I praise you, and I thank you for allowing us this time to be together. And I thank you for your protection. Thankful, Lord, that nobody in our family and in our church family has gotten that corona. I thank you that you're watching over us, and I just pray you'll continue to do that. And Father, I thank you that we're finally able to come back. Yes, there's guidelines, but Lord, we're to obey the laws of the land. But Lord, we just pray that we can get back to a little bit of normalcy. And Father, I just pray that while we're here, today we'll honor you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for those that have gathered. Be with those that weren't able to be with us today. You've heard the prayer requests. Be with them. May your will be done with each of these requests. Lord, I pray you'll be with me as I share your word. Give me the words to say. Let me say those things you've laid upon my heart. And may your people be fed the word of God. Lord, again, if there's one that knows you not, our prayer is that they'll come to know you as Savior before it's too late. You bless this service. We'll be sure to give you the honor, praise, and glory. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. First of all, the Word of God is very clear. When Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," notice that word, seek. It means to go after. Get after it. Obtain it. And beloved, that's the first thing you and I should do every day is seek the kingdom of God. But let me just tell you, before you can have a kingdom, you got to have a king. And I wonder this morning, do you have the king? Do you know the king? Because there has to be a king in order for there to be a kingdom. And have you sought the king? You see, there's a lot of people that know about the king, but they don't seek the king, and they don't truly know the king. But we're to seek the king. You see, the Word of God says this in James chapter 4. Draw nigh unto God, and what will He do? Draw nigh unto you. Jeremiah tells us, the Lord said, if you will seek me with all of your heart, then you will find me. You see, we have to seek the King. And I pray you're doing that. And let me just say, when it says to seek the King, it means this, that when you get up of a morning, He's the first one you go after. He's the first one you acknowledge when you rise up out of bed. He's the first one you spend your weekend with. He's the first one, and He's the only one that you think about all the time. You see, that's what seeking the King is. And let me say this. I hear it all the time. Oh, I love the Lord. Oh, I used to go to church, but I still love the Lord. I'm still a Christian. Well, only you and God knows that. But I will tell you, true faith will always bear fruit. True faith will always bear fruit. Let me tell you something about seeking the Lord, because we've got it backwards. You see, we have it in our minds that we'll meet our own needs, we'll do our own thing, and the Lord's going to just serve us. No, no, no. It's just the opposite in truly seeking the kingdom of God. He has to be first in everything. You see, He's not going to settle for second best. He's not going to be your runner-up in a beauty pageant. Amen? He's not going to be your second in command in your army. He is not going to be the co-owner of your duplex. He has to be first and foremost. You see, he wants his throne in the kingdom of your heart. He doesn't want prominence in your life. He wants preeminence in your life. And that's where we've messed up today. Because the Lord is only there when we need him. When we feel, oh, well, I can't handle this situation, I'll turn it over to him because I'm in trouble. That's when we seek him. No. He needs to be on the throne of our heart. Notice, in order to have a kingdom, we got to have a king. Secondly, seek first that kingdom. In order for there to be a king, there's got to be a kingdom. And I'll ask you, that kingdom, what does it mean? It means rule and reign. A king in a kingdom rules and reigns. And what I'm trying to get at is, does the king, does Jesus Christ rule and reign in his kingdom in your heart? That's the question that only you and I can answer individually. If you're not saved, I'll just tell you right now, he's not your king and you're not in his kingdom. But if you've trusted him, and let me just say this too, because people twist things. Listen to me. Well, I have accepted him. Well, that's good. But accepting him, there's more to it. Just because you've accepted him for salvation, and praise God, the Holy Spirit convicted your heart and convinced you to do that, that's well, that's good. But just because you have accepted him, that doesn't mean he is the king and the Lord of your life. That doesn't mean that he set his throne upon your heart and you are walking in his kingdom day after day after day. Amen? Lots of folks have things twisted. Now, the kingdom should reflect him, right? If he's the king, answer me this. If we're in the Lord's kingdom, shouldn't we do everything to glorify him in that kingdom? Yes, absolutely. We should do everything within our power to glorify him. And what I mean is, everything that we have within us should glorify him. Everything that we do. I think Paul said, whether we eat or we drink, what do? We do it all to the glory of God. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, some folks will say, well, preacher, if you're talking about him being on the throne of your heart, just totally being surrendered to his will, then you're talking about slavery. Let me tell you something about slavery. The greatest liberty that there is when you are controlled by the right master. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is the right master. I don't mind being his slave. By the way, we use the word slave. We're just servants of the king. And it is the duty of a servant to serve his king. Amen? But boy, we hate that word, don't we? But again, great liberty if you know the right master. Again, seek ye first the kingdom of God. One, you got to know the king. You got to seek him first. Notice he said first. He didn't leave out second or third or fourth or fifth. He said, you seek me first. So he's got to be the top priority in your life. Then you live in the kingdom by serving the king. And every day, as a servant of the king, we should seek his guidance. Amen? there's nothing greater than serving the King in the kingdom. And every day when we put our feet on the floor every morning, we should kneel and say, Lord, what is it you'll have me to do today? And we shouldn't moan, groan, gripe, complain. If that's what you want me to do, Father, I'll be more than willing to do it. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then he says, his righteousness. Now, I'm going to freak some of you out. I probably have already done that over the years. But understand this. Whether you're aware of it or not, God is not concerned about your righteousness. Let me say that one more time because I think some of y'all didn't get it. God could care less about your righteousness. What he's interested is his righteousness in you. That's what he's wanting us to understand. His righteousness. Do you not understand this morning? The reason that Jesus came into the world was so that we could obtain his righteousness, not our own. Too many times we think that we can put our trust in our own self-righteousness. And beloved, that's the worst thing you and I can do. You see, that was a lesson the Apostle Paul learned a long time ago. You see, after he got saved, the one thing that was a goal in his life, and he had several goals, but one of those top goals in his life was not to be self-righteous and not depend on his own righteousness, but it was to depend on the righteousness of Christ in God. If you don't believe me, I'll show you. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Notice what he says. It's hard to turn the pages with these gloves. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 9. Here's one of Paul's goals, and it should be yours and mine. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by what? Faith. Did y'all get that? My, oh my. Should we depend on our righteousness? No. The Lord tells us, first things first, seek his righteousness. And go ahead and understands. I'm going to teach you a lesson about righteousness. Righteousness must be imputed before it can be imparted. Understand? You say, no, I don't quite get that. Well, all right, I'll make it easy for you. I'll make it simple. God has to give it to us before we can use it. What it means. That's archy language. You ought to be able to understand that. He's got to give it to us. That's why Jesus came. He who knew no sin came sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what it's talking about. But we're to seek his righteousness. You see, what's in a man's character? What kind of character? I'll ask you a question. I'll put it this way. Let me ask you, men and ladies. What kind of character do you have? You see, character is this. And by the way, righteousness is God's character. And it should be in us. But he doesn't want us to just hold it in. He wants it to be expressed outwardly so that others will come to know him. But character is that which is in us. That's what's in our heart. That's our character. Now, I hope you have the righteousness of God through Christ in your heart. Because if you do, it's going to naturally come out. And if you don't, then you better check yourself. Just like I said earlier, faith always produces fruit. Character will also produce what? Those things that come out of the heart. So if you're living for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to show it. I read a long time ago about the guy, believe it or not, it wasn't Hitler that started the Nazi movement. Everybody seems to think that, but no, it wasn't Hitler. It was a German philosopher named Nietzsche. He was a philosopher, and he was one of the very first ones that believed that God was dead. And his reasoning was this. He watched Christians, and their lives didn't line up with what they said they were. In fact, this was his saying. His saying was simply, if you want me to believe in your Redeemer, then you ought to live like you're a little more redeemed. Now that's a sad commentary, but it is true. You see, beloved, we're seeking the King, living in His kingdom and His righteousness. Listen to me. People are going to see that very easily. I guess what I'm trying to say is if you're what you say you are, being a Christian, you'll make it easy for people to see who you're serving, who you're a servant to. That's right, sister. Again, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then notice what he said. All of these things will be added unto you. You say, well, Pastor John, what's all these things he's talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because you see, what he's trying to deal with is this. If you'll put me first, and I'm paraphrasing, but if you'll put me first in your life, I will take care of your needs. I will meet every need. You see, the problem with people today is this. They worry about every simple thing. And that's what he was trying to teach them. You see, they were worried about what? First of all, they were worried about money, their finances. How do I know? Look at verse 19. Oh, I need to go back to my text. I'm still in Philippians. Notice what verse 19 says. There you go. You see, lots of folks worry about finances. And he's trying to show them that, hey, don't put your trust in finances. Don't do that. Now, it's true, you can spend a dollar only one of two ways. You can either waste it, and I guess we've all been guilty of that, or you can invest it. Sad to say, most of us don't do a lot of investing. But my point is, he's trying to get them to understand, don't worry about your finances. Put me first, and let me be the king of your life. Live in my kingdom. I'll handle the rest for you. Not only do they worry about finances, but jump down to verse 25. What you eat, and what you drink. They're worried about food. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What shall you eat or what you shall drink? Nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg for bread. I have never one time in my life, and I'm sure you can answer the same thing, have we ever went to bed hungry. Now, I may not have had a steak for supper. I might have had biscuits and gravy. Cornbread and milk. But I've never spent 1 minute of my life here upon this earth hungry. So he does take care of us, doesn't he? So, don't worry about your finances. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about fitness. Look at verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? I've never in my life seen so many commercials on, this will make you lose weight. This will build muscle on you. Here's a gym membership. Here's that. Here's that. Listen, God said in his word, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness, get that godliness, will benefit you. Now you can tell, now a long time ago I was into the fitness thing. I mean, a long time ago. But I'm thankful I learned that verse and I've applied that verse to my life. It doesn't profit much. So it doesn't bother me to drive right by the gym. When I drive right by the gym, I look at those folks going in, big muscles, and I just think, you need to learn a lesson, fella. By the way, you're going to get old, and those muscles that were once here are going to be down here. Because that's just the way it is. Amen?
Amen.
So we shouldn't worry about the future. Shouldn't worry about our bodies. And then notice one other thing. Shouldn't worry about fashion. Look at verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. You see, the Lord's trying to teach them, you have me, you don't need to worry about anything. Now, he said, I will meet your needs. He did not say, I will meet your wants. And if ever was a time that you and I should learn a lesson, it's something that we need to teach our kids. Sometimes we don't need everything that we think we want. Amen? I wish I would have learned that lesson a long time ago. Because I could have saved me a lot of money. Amen? See, I thought I needed that. And I needed that. And I got it. But I never used it. I just spent money for nothing. We need to teach our kids that, listen, you don't have to have everything you want. We are to also teach them, and this is a lesson that we as adults could also learn today, that sometimes those things we want is not what we need. You say, well, what do you mean? Every whipping I ever got, I didn't want. Amen? But I certainly needed them. And I tell you what, my mother has you fooled. That woman could lay the leather. And if she got a switch in her hand, you better run. Because she could use a switch. Now, my father, that's a different story. Oh, I dreaded him coming home. You know what your son did? He'd just point to the back room. Never. And, well, let me explain. There was none of that. Wham, 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 wham. Okay, I got it. But again, those are lessons. And here's my point. When are we going to learn the lesson that God gives us what we need if we put Him first? We have nothing to worry about when we put Him first. Remember that old hymn we sing around here? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. A lot of us have the attitude of, I'll have mine own way, Lord. I'll have mine own way. I'm the potter. Thou art the clay. I'll mold you and make you after my will. While you are waiting, yielded and still. That is the wrong attitude. And that will cut off the blessings of God in your life, child of God. It'll stop them cold. We have to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Heard about two stores right across the street from one another. One manager one morning came out, put up a sign. The sign said, come in and shop. I have everything you'll ever need. A few minutes later, the other manager from across the street came out and saw that sign. Thought for a moment. Went back in. A little while later, he comes out with his sign. His sign said this: if we don't have it, you don't need it. Now, you can laugh if you want to, and it is kind of comical. But understand this. If there's something in your life that you think you want and you don't need it, it's because God don't want you to have it. You want me to say that again? Sometimes we think that we have to have this or that, and the reason we don't have this or that is because God already knows that you don't need it, and He's trying to watch out for you. You've heard me say it many times. You know why I'm never going to be a millionaire here on earth? Because God cannot trust me with it. Never going to be rich materially. I'm rich spiritually as, hey, I am wealthy beyond measure. Amen. I am highly favored and blessed of God. But materially, I'm not going to have six digits in my bank account. Ain't going to happen. And contrary to what's being peddled today, name it and claim it, prosperity, hooey, fooey, it don't work that way. Listen, God's not going to give people all of this stuff when it's going to take them away from Him. Ain't going to happen. But boy, there's a lot of people that swallow that biscuit, don't they? Because they don't know God's word. Now, I want to close with this. We need to set our priorities, right? Number one, that means seek the King and His kingdom. Let me tell you, our priorities have to be right. If our priorities are wrong, we're wrong. Sad to say today, our priorities aren't right. Then we need to not only get our priorities right, but we should also seek purity. Beloved, we want the righteousness of Christ in us. We want His righteousness. We want His character within us so it shows others who God is. And then finally, we should seek the Lord's prosperity, His prosperity. Not by, oh, if I'll sow this seed, I'll get back. Lord, you're obligated now. I've given you $1,000. You've got to give me $10,000. No, it doesn't work that way. That's not what He's talking about. When I say seek His prosperity, I'm talking about trust Him. Just rely on Him. Several years ago, I can't remember, but it was, I can't even think of his name, brother, but he's missionary to, where was he? It's one of the islands. Solomon Islands. Anyways, at missionary share time, he told this story. Brother, who was it before Brother Walt? Who was that? You know who I'm talking about? Brother Walt Emery's there now in the Solomon Islands. This was a fellow that was there before. This was his story, this missionary we had. But he said that when he decided, God had laid it on his heart to go out to the Solomon Islands. He says, well, him and his wife, we got to sell everything. We got to learn the language. And we got to obey God. So everybody in his family said, you don't know them people. You don't know their ways. They don't know you. It's dangerous. And he just said, I got to do what God wants me to do. So him and his wife were at a dock going down the gangplank, and one of his friends was a very wealthy man, businessman. And it said, hey, wait. I want to give you a hug, both of you, before you go. So they stop, they hug, and he goes, well, I'll see you when you get back. But, oh, I wanted to hand you something. He had an envelope. And he handed him this envelope, and he said, now, if you get over there, and there is a need, and you just can't get that need met, and you don't know where else to turn to, then just open this envelope and use it for that need. But he said, okay. The missionary said, okay, thank you, I appreciate it. Put it in his pocket. They went off to the Solomon Islands. And they were on the field nearly 20 years. And he comes back. Him and his wife. They're coming down the gangplank. And guess who's there waiting for him? His rich friend that gave him the envelope. They hugged, spoke, hello, how are you, and all of this, good to see you. And he reached in his pocket and he handed him that envelope back that was still sealed and never been opened. And he said, oh, by the way, buddy, I always knew who I could turn to. And I always knew that, you know what, it's going to be taken care of. You see, this is a lesson me and you have to learn. The Lord said, first things first, put me first, I'll handle the rest. I'll meet your needs. And we that are here this morning can attest, he's met our needs, has he not? He has met every need. We have no right to say, oh, well, there's a few times. No, he's met your need. You're breathing, right? You're not living under an underpass, right? You got food in your belly, right? Thank the Lord some of you got clothes on. I mean, think about it. He has met every need. And the secret is just seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So, for the rest of your life, put Him first. Never too old to learn. What days you have left, use them for His glory. Now, if you're under the sound of my voice, what I said to you probably don't mean a whole lot, because you don't get it. And the reason you don't get it is because you just don't know the King. But I want to invite you to come to know the King, and I want to introduce the King to you. His name is Jesus Christ. He's God's only begotten Son that He sent into the world to redeem me and you. He came to give us God's righteousness. So what's it going to be? Heaven? Hell. Salvation? Damnation. What's it going to be? Not really a hard choice, beloved. Send a friend, he loves you. And if you'll come, he'll save you right here and right now. So would you stand with me? Brothers and sisters, let's be encouraged. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to just give you a few minutes. Seek what God would be speaking to your heart about. Some of you, if you want to come to the altar, we'll let you do that. But just again, remember, You got to be about 6 feet apart. But let's go before God's holy and gracious throne and pray to Him. Father, we come before You and we just thank You for Your word.